Next Thursday, February 3rd, the Citizen Trade Policy Commission will hold its first public hearing in Bangor. The Maine State Commission is similar to others in California and Washington State, but is the first of its kind incorporating citizen members as well as legislative members. With the Central Free Trade Agreement, American Free Trade Agreement, CAFTA, coming up for a vote, there has been discussion about how free trade agreements impact local governments within the signing countries, which include the United States, the countries of Central America, and the Dominican Republic. Currently, it does not have enough votes to pass in the U.S. Congress, but remains a top agenda item for the Bush administration. Currently, Representative Michoud and Allen have said they would vote against the agreement. Senators Snow and Collins are undecided. Senator Snow, however, did vote against NAFTA. We spoke with Bjorn Skorpen Klassen, a member of the Citizen Trade Policy Commission and an organizer with Peace Through Inter-American Community Action in Bangor.
Okay, so the Citizens Trade Policy Commission was established by the Maine State Legislature last year after a really strong and exciting grassroots campaign led by the Maine Fair Trade Campaign and lots of allies in the labor movement and in the environmental movement and in the human rights movement and small businesses and lots of youth were involved as well. And the commission was established then to examine the impact of trade agreements, free trade agreements, on Maine's economy, laws, and environment, and very importantly also to give Maine citizens a greater voice in these trade agreements that impact so many aspects of our lives. And the way it will give us a greater voice, basically serve as a democracy enhancing vehicle in this regard, because these trade agreements are, as we all know, negotiated basically in secret and are not released to the public until they are all done. But what the commission will do is serve as a vehicle to communicate our questions, our concerns, our stories as ordinary Maine citizens to the trade negotiators, to the United States Trade Representative's Office, to members of Congress, so that we can be sure that when members of Congress vote on these agreements, they have heard us. And also to the Maine State Legislature, in case there are initiatives that can be taken on the state level to mitigate some of the negative effects of the free trade agreements. And so, that, you know, so in terms of the makeup of the commission, it consists, I believe, of 17 voting members and I believe 5 or 6 non-voting members from various state departments. And the 17 voting members represent a spectrum of constituencies in Maine that are or could be impacted by trade agreements, from manufacturing to small business, to environmental groups, to labor, to human rights interests, and
agriculture
and healthcare interests are all represented on this commission. So it's a very broad, very diverse commission that is learning very rapidly that trade agreements can impact us in many, many different ways beyond just our economic economic vitality and sovereignty.
Can you briefly give an idea of what some of the issues and concerns to do with the international trade policies that the commission is currently dealing with, and what explicitly then are some of your concerns from your perspective?
Well, the commission has actually created 3 different work groups right now. One work group focuses on the natural resources and the environment. Another work group focuses on health care. And another work group focuses on labor standards and economic development. So I think that when we talk about trade issues, most people are familiar with NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, and are familiar with the kind of with the devastating economic effects that NAFTA has had in communities throughout Maine, as factories have shut down and as workers have lost jobs, or as we have seen union workers have had to give contract concessions, and we have lost wages and we have lost benefits. Most of us are familiar with the whole outsourcing debate, that our jobs are being outsourced through the vehicle of free trade agreements more and more. Now, what we're also very, very interested in, and that remains a huge concern, I think, for the Commission and certainly for PICA, but what we're increasingly concerned about are a variety of other issues. For example, we're concerned about access to health care. We're concerned about being able to practice sustainable forestry, sustainable fishery, having sustainable water withdrawal regulations so that water is withdrawn from our aquifers in a sustainable way. We're concerned with being able to mitigate urban sprawl and limit big box development. We're concerned with safeguarding Maine people's basic access to basic services such as our water and sewer system, our garbage services, our education, even K-12 education, our libraries and museums. Now, what is really not easy to wrap our minds around is that all these issues are, in fact, more and more trade issues, and that battles for access to health care, battles for, sustainable fisheries, for example, or against big box development, that all these battles increasingly have to be fought in the trade arena, not just on the local, on the local community arena or with your city council or with the state legislature or with the federal government, but actually in the trade arena. And that's something that we will strive to educate ourselves about more and more and also educate the public about more and more.
And how can these various local and state and even federal laws be challenged under these trade agreements?
Well, just to take a step back,
before
we get to the whole issue of challenge, why are these trade issues? And it goes back to, who is driving the trade agreements, the international trade agreements, namely the large transnational corporations who want to use trade agreements to open new markets, in either to get into markets that are at this point supplied by domestic or small businesses, or turning public services, such as education or healthcare or water and sewer services, into tradable commodities and creating markets there. Here's a couple of quotes. This one is from Lehman Brothers. The K-12 education industry is, quote, the final frontier of a number of sectors once dominated by public control, end of quote. Here's a similar quote from a European company. Water and its infrastructure are the final frontier for private investors to invade, end of quote. Now, the vehicle, or if you will, the weapon of choice for this invasion are trade agreements. Because what trade agreements do, when you're looking at what do people actually talk about, for years and years and years, they're negotiating trade deals. Well, increasingly, they're not talking about what's at the borders, the tariffs and the quotas that are set by the federal government. But they are talking about what they call non-tariff barriers to trade, and with the goal of eroding, diminishing these non-tariff barriers to trade. Now, what are non-tariff barriers to trade? Well, in fact, there are potentially any law or policy or regulation on any level of government, the federal level, the state level, or the local level, that can restrict market access for foreign corporations, such as restrict market access for healthcare providers, foreign healthcare providers, or for foreign water utilities providers, to take just a couple of examples from the services sector, or any law that will discriminate in favor of domestic businesses or local businesses or small businesses, because that's discrimination vis-a-vis now foreign corporations. So the trade agreements are actually deliberately target the laws, policies, and regulations that we have created through democratic ways in order to, for the economic development purposes, to guarantee access to public services, or to set, make sure that we have public health standards, consumer safety standards, and so on.
Could you give some example of these laws? And it's interesting to note, too, that we are in a time when we're looking to privatize Social Security and how that may be a part of this larger picture.
That's right, yeah. As I mentioned, these laws can be targeted, whether they're federal laws or state laws or local laws. And what we're, as PICA, really interested in right now, since we're a local organization, is the laws and regulations that we enact on a local level that can become subject to challenge if they conflict with trade rules. Some of these laws are zoning laws that limit where businesses can establish themselves, zoning laws that we may want to have in order to preserve green spaces or limit traffic congestions, for example, or laws that we may want to have to limit big box development because we have an economic needs test and we say that we have enough big boxes already. Well, economic needs tests are explicitly forbidden in trade agreements. So those are some laws. Tax incentives for revitalization efforts that explicitly benefit small businesses or local businesses, they are trade illegal as well. It's important to mention here that while there may be conflicts between local laws and local initiatives of this type and the trade rules, no trade rule and no trade agreement automatically invalidates a local law. Instead, what would happen is that they could become subject to a challenge in a trade tribunal. And if the challenge is successful, then we may be forced to revoke the law.
February 3rd is the first public hearing that the citizens' Trade Policy Commission will be holding. Can you talk about this hearing and how people can give their input or give their questions?
Yeah. Well, this is actually not like any ordinary public hearing. If you imagine if people have gone to a public hearing, say, in the State House and spoken out about the issues, that's a great way to have your voice heard and make sure that that our state legislators hear us. Now, the Citizens Trade Policy Commission will conduct a public hearing in a similar way as the ones that are held at the State House, but it's the commission itself also serves as a vehicle of communication, not just with the state legislature, but also with our congressional delegation and also with U.S. trade representatives. So look at this public hearing and look at the commission as an amplifier for your voice and for your concern, because what you say at the public hearing, the concerns you express, the questions that you have will be relayed to these bodies on not just state level but also on a federal level. So the public hearing will serve as a way in which we can make sure that our voices are heard in a way that they have never been heard before when they negotiate trade agreements. There will be more hearings coming up. According to the legislation that established this commission, we need to hold two public hearings per year, but we have not yet scheduled the second public hearing. It would be safe to say, though, that since this public hearing is in Bangor, the second public hearing will probably be held somewhere in southern Maine, but we don't know exactly where or when yet. So the commission's first public hearing will take place on Thursday, February 3rd, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Husson College Business Center in Bangor. And for directions to the Business Center of Husson College and more information about the public hearing, people can visit PICA's website, and that's www.pica.ws, www.pica.ws. People should not feel that they need to be experts whatsoever or prepare whatsoever in order to speak out at this public hearing. You can tell your own personal story. For example, if you have been, if your job has been outsourced, or if you have a small business and is striving to compete in the global economy, you can tell your own personal story if you are struggling for if you don't have adequate access to health care. And if you don't know how exactly those concerns are related to trade agreements, you can simply ask that question, and you can ask the commission to find out for you and to find out, well, is the Maine RX plan, for example, going to be jeopardized by new trade agreements. It'd be great. The Commission wants to know if people have concerns like that, and then we can, the Commission can do that research and try to find out. If people want to learn more about the Central America Free Trade Agreement, one place to start is the PICAS website, which is, again, www.pica.ws, and we have links to many, many good websites. There's no end to good literature on the Central America Free Trade Agreement on the Internet.
Great. Thank you so much, Bjorn Skorpen-Klassen, a member of the Citizen Trade Policy Commission and an organizer with Peace Through Inter-American Community Action, PICA, in Bangor.
Thank you very much, Meredith.
We spoke with some of the legislative representatives on the Citizen Trade Policy Commission after their meeting this past Friday in Augusta.
Yes, hi. I'm State Senator Bruce Bryant, a member of the commission, and I represent most of northern Oxford County in the town of Jay in Franklin County.
Great. And if you could talk about the importance of public participation and observation of the Maine state public on this issue of trade policy and how it affects the state of Maine.
This is one of the first forums that we're going to go out into the state and allow citizens to have a chance to, number one, learn more about trade policies, but also get their input on what their feelings are on what the trade policies, NAFTA and GATT, and especially the newer one that's being considered by the federal government right now, is the Central American Free Trade Agreement, and have them give their opinions and their experience with this trade agreement. And we think it's critical that people that are for it and people that are against it, or people that have positive dealings with it and people that have negative dealings with it, come before the commission to let the commission fully understand the impacts of these type of trade agreements.
You've just been through a long information session this morning. What are some of the issues that the state and the commission in particular are looking at or concerned with?
I think for myself, I think the commission is concerned about a number of issues, but my major concern is in the area of standards, labor standards, environmental standards on these policies that are global. And the other real issue that I have and of great concern is when these treaties then supersede the state's rights and federal law and basically leave you with just these policies that are created internationally that basically take over the authority that the regular citizen has. And I think that, to me, is a position that we need to continue to understand, and we need to make sure that people are aware of that. And so here is an opportunity for people to understand more about it, but some people that understand more to come educate the committee on these type of issues. I'm not saying it's all bad, but this really does, these trade policies really, really leads to a new whole layer of law that's higher than the Constitution, it's higher than the Supreme Court, that's basically really we have to be paying attention to. And I think one goal of this commission is to try to understand it more clearly and have some effect on that. If it is going to pass, if things are going to happen, then we want to make sure that we have the ability to at least influence parts of that law that protect us. So that's that's what our goal is, and we hope to be successful.
Senator Kevin Ray, representing Senate District 29, which is Washington County and eastern portions of Hancock and Penobscot counties. I would encourage the public to attend the upcoming public hearing in Bangor, provide valuable input from the public to the commission on the impact of trade policies. And I think that being where we are geographically, we have been able to really understand over the years the impact of NAFTA. Being able to share that with the commission will be very helpful as we seek ways to find legislative solutions here in Maine and to communicate with our congressional delegation and with the U.S. Trade Representative.
What are some of the issues that you feel the commission is looking at in particular, or you in particular, are concerned with?
Well, we're going to be looking, I know one area will be the whole federalism issue, and that is in terms of how international trade agreements can now impact even state and local laws, and that's something relatively new. I don't think often in the past those of us in state and local government felt we had to be too much concerned with what was happening internationally, but now with some of the agreements that have been negotiated, they do impact decisions we make at the legislative level and the local level. Some of the things we do, for instance, in terms of trying to promote economic development can be considered as a subsidy by a foreign government and be challenged. Some of the things that we may do in terms of investment or procurement policies at the state level can be challenged internationally, and that raises very serious questions. And I think we want to make sure we have a firm understanding of that and that we're able to communicate the concerns to our senators and our congressmen. One of the things we talked about as a commission is that our own Senator Snowe, as a member of the powerful Senate Finance Committee, is in a very strong position to influence the debate on the Central American Free Trade Agreement. And certainly as that is considered and as anything related to the U.S. Trade Representative is considered, I think it's good if this commission is in a strong position to be informed, understand the impacts at our local and state level so that we can effectively communicate with Senator Snowe and hopefully have some input into helping her shape those policies.
I'm Peggy Rotundo. I represent Senate District 16, which is all of Lewiston, and I am the Senate Chair for the Citizen Trade Policy Commission. This commission is unique in the United States, and what we're trying to do is to inform ourselves about the effects of trade agreements, international trade agreements, on the state so that we can inform the governor and inform our congressional delegation who actually have a say in what's ratified in terms of these agreements. And in order to do that, in order for us to be educated about the effects of international trade agreements on our state, we need to hear from people in the state who are being affected. And we're eager to hear from people in business. We're eager to hear from people who work in areas that are being affected. It's very important for us to have this input. And we are a commission of citizens, and this provides a unique opportunity for people in the state to be able to give us this input and for us to be able to then use it in informing our congressional delegation as well as the governor.
What are some of the issues of particular concern to this commission or yourself as you're looking at these issues of how international trade policies affect us at the state level?
Right. What we've come to understand is that these international trade agreements are taking away the opportunity and the power of states to create legislation to protect the well-being of citizens of our state, and to promote the economic development of our state. So we're looking at different areas such as healthcare, such as economic development, such as the environment, to try to learn how our state's being impacted and how our ability to govern ourselves has been eroded through these trade agreements.
Federalism is being discussed quite a bit, and for people who might be coming into the public policy hearing in Bangor, can you orient people a little bit to what that means?
Right. When we talk about federalism, we're really talking about the state's ability to govern themselves and to be able to maintain authority over themselves. So what's been happening with these trade agreements is that authority, that ability to govern ourselves as a state is being taken away from us. So when we talk about federalism, we're talking about states' rights to be able to protect the welfare and the well-being of the people in our state.
And in this particular session this morning, how was that being introduced? How that could be challenged through these agreements, through tribunals, was one.
There were a series of challenges to states that were discussed this morning, there have been instances where states have not been allowed to go forward with public health laws that they put into place where those laws have been challenged. There have been instances where states have been trying to help nurture particular small businesses within their states, and those efforts have been challenged. And what's difficult is that the decisions get made by a tribunal in Geneva, a tribunal made up of international lawyers who are not in any way connected to our own court system here in the United States. They aren't in any way connected to policy decisions that have been made within the state, elected officials. These are international lawyers who are sitting in a tribunal way far away from the states that are being affected, and they're making these decisions and overriding decisions that have been made by legislatures within states who are charged with protecting the well-being of those particular states.
Again, the Citizen Trade Policy Commission hearing will be held next Thursday, February 3rd, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Husson College Center for Family Business. Their phone number is 941-7100. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Meredith DeFrancesco.
And I'm Amy Brown. Joel Mann engineered today's program. Andy Buckley does web and technical support.
You can reach us here at WERU or by emailing radioactive@mainindymedia.org. We have a new website, radioactivenews.org, where you can download archived programs.
Thanks for listening and acting. Stay tuned for more independent news and public affairs programming. And join us again next Thursday at 4 for Radioactive. Thank you.